Welcome to the One Wyoming Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Thorburn. You can follow me on Twitter at @by_RyanThorburn. Follow all of my coverage at the Pokes Insider page at gowyo.com. Pleased to be joined by Frank Crum, Denver Bronco rookie. Frank, thanks for joining the pod.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, glad to be here.
So obviously, Frank, it was probably a roller coaster of emotions for you this past weekend. I know just watching it as a casual observer myself on Saturday, I was a little bit nervous for you. What was that range of emotions like, thinking, okay, I could be in the sixth round or I could be undrafted? Who knows?
Right. You know, I knew I was going into day three. You know, that was my anticipation, was to go day three. And it didn't end up working out that way, which is fine because, you know, I'm really happy to go play for Sean Payton down for the Broncos, no doubt.
What was that wait like just all day Saturday watching pick after pick?
Yeah, you know, it is an emotional roller coaster, that's sure. You got to kind of, you know, try to avoid looking at your phone a ton and watching the TV constantly. You know, in hindsight, you know, I'll never go through that again. But definitely a ton of emotions that, you know, me and my family experienced. But at the end of the day, you know, we're happy with what happened.
Yeah, I went to Chad Muma's house a couple of years ago, and he knew he was probably a second or third round guy. But, you know, the Broncos came up. They needed a linebacker. And even though, you know, he knew he was going somewhere, they took an Oklahoma linebacker, and the room just kind of deflates, and then it gets excited when another team needs a linebacker, and then he goes to Jacksonville. Were you going through the highs and lows with your family like that?
Yeah, you know, I tried to stay steady, but you look at teams, and you look at teams that you've had relationships with, and, you know, good talks with the whole process from the Hula Bowl to the Combine to Zooms to visits, and you can you build kind of a rapport, and you build a story in your head probably. And then you look at rosters and see who needs offensive tackles, and you anticipate a little bit. And, you know, it was a lot of planning that, you know, didn't come to fruition, I guess, but that's all right. And, you know, thankfully I had a great deal with my agent, and we figured it out.
Yeah, I just know from covering the Broncos for 7 years, you know, during the Mike Shanahan era, sometimes it's better to be an undrafted free agent than a late-round pick because you get to pick where you go. Your agent gets to study the rosters and find a good fit for you. I imagine your phone was ringing off the hook as the draft was winding down. What was it about the Broncos over some of the other offers you got?
Yeah, it's a really quick process there in free agency. You know, I had a multitude of teams call me. You know, it's back and forth between coaches and your agent and trying to figure out best roster fit and, you know, relationships that you've had and, you know, where's real opportunity at, who really wants you. And in a matter of 15 minutes from the last pick, you know, we had it all narrowed down and was confident in the decision to go to Denver.
What was the emotions like telling teams no, which, I mean, NFL teams are saying we want you to work for us, and you have to tell them no with the elation of, you know, going down the street a couple hours to work for the Broncos?
Yeah, it was super confident in my decision to go to Denver. But, yeah, when you got multiple teams vying for you in this free agent world, which I wasn't too schooled up on, you know, I anticipated to get drafted. And I did not expect that, you know. But, yeah, you got to say no to a lot of guys who are, you know, throwing the world at you and, you know, trying to tell you everything you want to hear. But, yeah, you do got to say no to everybody but one. And, you know, I'm super confident and happy with my decision with Denver.
Is it kind of cool that they're resetting the franchise? Sean Payton is resetting it. He's got his guy, Bo Nix, another player who was in college for 6 years and had to develop and really is a perfect fit for Sean Payton, almost singularly when you look at his career and the matchup there. And then obviously they have a big rookie class. You know, Garrett Bowles has been around for a long time. Mike McGlinchey, you can learn from those guys. But you're kind of starting with Sean Payton finally as his quarterback, and now he's going to build it from there.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting times for the Broncos. you know, Coach Payton's got what he's got going now, and I'm really excited to be a part of that. And there are some notable vets on that team, which I'm excited to gravitate towards and, you know, learn everything I can from those vets. I think that's going to be crucial for me in my first year is, you know, how to operate and carry myself and what needs to be done, because, you know, extra work is one thing, but, you know, in the NFL, it makes or breaks your career. I'm excited, you know, Coach Payton, what he's got going, and then the guys in the room as well. I think it's a great offensive line room that I'm joining.
Yeah, you're too young to remember the Elway Super Bowls at the end of his career, but I imagine the proximity of Laramie to Denver, you probably were, you know, a Von Miller guy and watched those teams. Were you a Broncos fan?
Yeah, no, I definitely grew up a Broncos fan, and when they won the Super Bowl back in my teenage years, you know, that was really cool to be a part of, the Peyton Manning era and all that. But, yeah, no, I grew up a Broncos fan for sure.
And, you know, I just know in my little circle of friends, a lot of Broncos fans, they were pretty put off when Josh Allen didn't get drafted by the Broncos. And obviously they've had quarterback problems since then. Do you feel like the Broncos getting a Wyoming guy, Frank Crum, that's going to bring some of these Wyoming Bronco fans back?
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity for Wyoming to have, you know, a closer tie to the Denver Broncos, more so than just location. You got a guy who really cares about the state and who's from here and is one of them, you know. And so, I'm sure hoping the whole state of Wyoming is rooting for the Broncos and, you know, following what goes on down there.
I know sometimes combine shape is different than football shape, and, you know, you did very well at the combine, obviously. Now you have this Broncos mini camp coming up May 10th, I think.
Yep.
Do you feel like you're ready to roll into that, or just what's your mindset going into that?
Yeah, like you said, the training for the combine is a lot of linear speed and, you know, training like a track athlete, and I'll probably never train like that again in my life. It's time to play ball now. It doesn't matter, you know, how you got picked up, where you're at. It's who can play the best ball. Consistency, I think, is going to be really big. I got to be consistent. I think it's a great opportunity coming up here to play some ball. It's all the gymnastics of the combine's over and all the hearsay. It is what it is now, and I'm ready to roll.
There is no doubt that in the NFL, once training camp starts, it really doesn't matter if you were a free agent signing or a first-round pick or a 10-year veteran or a rookie. They're going to take the best 53 guys that can help them win every Sunday. Do you like that mindset, or do you like having that chip on your shoulder of being an undrafted guy? Because I think the stat is, you know, about 11% of all NFL starters on opening day last year were undrafted guys.
Yeah, you know, it definitely puts a different chip on your shoulder, and I would have had that drafted or not. I was expected to go day three. There's nothing guaranteed there at all. And you got to have that chip. You got to want to go, you know, take a spot and earn your role. But even more so now that I'm undrafted and to be, you know, provided this opportunity by the Broncos, I'm excited as heck to go in there and show what I got.
How much do you think your Wyoming experience will help? Because obviously coming out of Laramie High School, you know, you had good offers, Mountain West offers, but it's not like Georgia was coming after this five-star kid from Laramie. You had to develop at Wyoming. It's a developmental program. I know Craig Bull said the famous story where he sat you and Gary down and said, I'm going to offer Frank, but he's got to earn this thing, and you did. How much do you think that background at Wyoming will help?
Yeah, I've been through that process once, and you know, that's where I really learned to figure out who I was as an athlete. You know, I was finally done maturing physically. Playing football is where my heart was. I fell in love with the weight room at that time, and then I fell in love with, you know, competition and the hunger to take, you know, someone's role and earn my own role through hard work. You know, that's really what, you know, that's what that process was young in my career at Wyoming, and it paid off here. And so, you know, I'm not new to that. I'm not new to having to create an opportunity for myself, you know, based on doing it, you know, the blue collar way.
Have you had a chance to talk to Chad Muma or Logan Wilson or any of the guys that have gone through this before about, you know, what to expect or anything?
I haven't talked to those guys you know, in a while, you know, probably about a year since I've talked to one of them.
Right.
Yeah. It's.
What does it mean to join that fraternity and kind of carry on this Pokes and the Pros thing that's been going on since Craig Bull got it rolling?
Yeah, you know, you look at a guy like Logan Wilson from Wyoming, and, you know, I was really young in the program when he was a senior, and for sure a role model for me, and a guy who's, like I said, from Wyoming, and he proved he can do it. And so that also lit a ton of inspiration and, you know, took some doubt out of my head as a young player coming into Wyoming. And then, you know, Chad being in my class and he having his success, you know, that was awesome. So, you know, I still got to earn my spot out there, but to be given this opportunity and to continue, you know, Coach Bull putting guys in the league and, you know, what characteristics they bring to the NFL, you know, tough nose, smart, you know, they've been through it. And, you know, I'm excited to continue that.
You're one of these unique guys that, you know, played college football during the pandemic and played at Wyoming for 6 years. You'll be unique in that way, you know, as time marches on. But, you know, you spent 6 years of Craig Bull's 10 years in the program. What are you most proud of about that era of Wyoming football?
Yeah, it's, you think back on a lot of big moments, and, you know, everybody sees the results on the 12 or 13 Saturdays, and it's cool when all those come out your way because you put in another 300 days that nobody else sees. And so, you know, notable moments that paid off was, you know, Missouri. That was the first time seeing the field for me. You know, I was on special teams, and that was a joy for me to be out there. And to win that game, you know, showed me, like, you know, you put in your time and your work, and it don't matter who you are. We got to go out here on this gridiron and fight it out. And, you know, I was really notable with Coach Bull. You know, he really took care of me in the off seasons too. I've always appreciated the rapport that we built together. And, you know, as I became a veteran, you know, our relationship changed, and respect, you know, for older guys was there. And that was really cool to see that transition between player and coach, you know, from a young guy to a vet. He really took care of us. And then obviously Texas Tech this year was notable. But every border war, that's at the top for me.
Yeah, what were you, 5-1 in border wars?
Yeah, yep, 5-1. COVID.
Do you count that one?
I don't know if we count that one because – how I met my fiance, she's from Colorado State, was because of that loss. She was talking smack. And so I think we have to count it just because of that. But, yeah, 5-1 is pretty dang good.
Yeah, your fiance, Caitlin, you guys are getting married this summer.
Yep.
I mean, what a big summer for Frank Crum.
Yeah, a lot of things going on. I got to make an NFL roster, and, you know, I'm about to start my own family here. Yeah, super excited for both those things.
So she was talking smack from the front row or online, or what was that?
Yeah, it was online because no one was in the stands at that point. And I got her number probably 3 years before, 2 years before that. And once, you know, they won the boot, she just texted me and was like, too bad we have the boot now. And that's how it all started. Just started chatting from there.
What did that senior year mean to you? Because you could have went out last year, but you came back, played left tackle. Obviously, you guys were 7-0 at home, won 9 games. Didn't quite reach your ultimate goal, Wyoming, which would have been to win a Mountain West championship, but you got the boot back. You know, you guys have all the trophies, all the rivalry trophies. What was last year like for you just to get that left tackle experience and develop a little bit more?
Yeah, I was excited to transition to left and add that to my game. You know, early on in my career, I played a little bit of left when I first started to start here and rotate in on the O-line. But, yeah, 6 years, I wanted to play guaranteed football. And Coach Bull, I was very thankful that he allotted me to play another year here. He was ecstatic about it. You know, it was a great year for growth. I wasn't satisfied, and, you know, I think it was beneficial to me to come back for my 6th year. And that's another year of memories that I made with the guys and a lot more wins. And so, you know, I have no regrets, and I'm very thankful that I played the 6th year.
Yeah, and you guys, you know, were paid a pretty big compliment by, I think it was Sweat, the D-tackle of Texas, at the Combine, said you guys were the – the toughest line they went against. And, you know, they obviously played Washington, who won the Joe Moore Award, played Oklahoma. What was it like, that Texas experience?
Yeah, it was a great atmosphere. You know, everybody knows that burnt orange when you're a kid. And to be able to go there and play, you know, our main focus was, let's first gain their respect and hit them in the mouth. You know, we weren't talking about scores or outcomes at all. It was all about the margins in between each snap. You know, we wanted to earn their respect, and they're going to remember us. And then once we did that, you know, we wanted to go for the throat. And, you know, for three quarters, we held our own, and, you know, just came down the wrong way for us. But great atmosphere, you know, for sure a memorable game for me. But, yeah, that defensive line is extremely talented between Byron Murphy and Sweat. Even their DNs and linebacker core, you know, you saw a couple of them go. But, yeah, super talented team, nationally recognized school, you know, hanging in there with them for a while, you know, it was something to remember, that's for sure.
Yeah, the reason why I wanted to ask you that is because I wanted to get your take on the future of the program, since you know all these guys, it's a veteran team. Evan Svoboda started that game, first career start in front of 100,000. I mean, Peasley is going to go down as one of the great gamers of all time. I think Pokes fans love that guy now. With all he went through, you know, the headband, taking the Red Raiders to the deep end of the pool, all that stuff. But let's face it, Svoboda is built different physically, and it seems like maturity-wise he's on point. What do you see in him as you're now a fan of Wyoming and not on the team?
Yeah, it's another accolade people don't talk about Andrew Peasley, is he was grooming Evan Svoboda that whole time. And so, you know, you can accredit Evan's maturity and, you know, smoothness that we just saw a glimpse of in Texas, but you'll see, you know, even better this coming year. You know, that's Andrew Peasley's doing, you know, being a great role model and leader in that room. It was never just about Andrew, you know, which was awesome. He always took care of his guys and was always there to share more than what he just wanted to keep for himself. But I think Evan's going to have a great career here at Wyoming. He's, you know, what is he, 6'5", 6'6"? I don't know if he's 6'6".
Well, he's listed at 6'5", 245, but
yeah, we'll
guys were saying he was more like 253.
Yeah, no, he's a big guy. He's a dual threat guy for sure. You know, he ain't going to go down easy. He's smart. His arm is extremely strong. And, you know, I think they're building a great, great wide receiver room right now. There's young guys stepping up and got some transfers in there. You know, I think there's going to be some great things on the perimeter between those guys. And then you get into offensive line, you know, I'm kind of jumping ahead here on you, but you got Fia, who's going to anchor that line. You know, he may be, in the past 20 years, the top three center to come through here. You know, we'll see where his career goes out. He might be number one eventually, but phenomenal guy to anchor that line. And then you got Caden Barnett. And, you know, it's still the same line. You're just missing me. And so it's one missing puzzle piece, which is a lot easier than losing three guys. That offense is going to be clicking again this year.
Yeah, obviously you have Jack Walsh as well, veteran, Wes King, Luke Sandy. But with Caden Barnett sitting out this spring and you obviously training for the NFL, Jake Davies and Nathan Geiger went through, you know, kind of hell on earth against these defensive ends who have been around forever. What do you see in those two guys, and how can that, do you see them, that making them more confident, or how does that process work where you're going through something like that?
Yeah, there's glimpses of those guys. They are going to mature into some really good offensive tackles. You know, I think everybody's invested in them and has belief in them, and you know, I think they got to get baptized by fire a little bit, and that's how we all got introduced to this game. And now it's just their time. And, you know, thank God it's at one position. You know, it's only one guy that has to have their first college snap this year at that offensive line.
What's it like for you as, you know, one of the ultimate bowl guys to see Craig retire, first of all, and then Jay Sauvel take over? Very little attrition, especially in today's college football, for a coaching change. And then what do you, you know, Jay Johnson, what's it like to, you were at some practices, to see him spread out a little bit, to going tempo, to kind of some different dynamics offensively?
Yeah, you know, super excited for Coach Sauvel to take over this program. You know, I think he's going to do great things here for us. yeah, I think this offense is going to utilize its weapons to the maximum capacity, but still have, you know, runs of attrition. You want to wear down that Wyoming way of, you know, the dirt dogs, we're going to pound you here. I don't think we'll ever lose that, but I think maximizing the weapons we do have, you know, the running back room is unbelievable right now, and then, like I said, the receivers, I think we're going to utilize those perimeter weapons a lot more. So I think it's going to be a much more broad attack that's, you know, precise on, you know, success.
Well, Frank, congratulations, first of all. It's been great covering you these last few years, and good luck in marriage and in professional football. And I know you're going to be one of those alumni NFL guys on your bye week that'll probably be on the sidelines checking out the Pokes, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Wyoming's forever my home. You know, I'll never grow too far from it. And, this place has a special part. And whatever I can do for this program and whatever facet that I'm called to, I'm all about it.
All right, everybody, that was Frank Crum. Stay tuned. We're going to have Kaylee Prigge, head Wyoming volleyball coach, on the One Wyoming podcast. Welcome back to the One Wyoming podcast. Pleased to be joined now by the head volleyball coach at Wyoming, Kaylee Prigge. Kaylee, welcome to the podcast, first of all. Second of all, tell us about the spring schedule. I know you guys, you know, played CU, CSU, a couple good home matches. What did you gain from this year's spring slate?
Definitely. First of all, Ryan, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Excited to be here. We just wrapped up our spring season, and it was awesome. I think we really think of ourselves here at Wyoming as a developmental program, and the spring is a perfect time to do just that. Especially with our freshmen being a fall sport, this is the first time we really get to break stuff down, and we're not worried about just who we're playing next, and really get to spend time with those developmental technical skills. So it was awesome. We played 6 total matches over 4 days. We played Regis and Metro State, 2 really competitive RMAC Division II programs that compete for national championships pretty much every year here at home. And then we went on the road to Northern Colorado, played them and CSU there, and then went to Boulder and played CSU and Boulder there as well. It's hard to know. I think overall pleased with what we got out of those, and just put our young players in moments that they hadn't been in yet, and hopefully that experience translates to the fall when they're in them for the first time there.
You mentioned it's a developmental program, and that's true, but for a first-year coach, I mean, you didn't have to wait long to have success. 11-0 last non-con, which was the best start in program history. You guys won 22 matches, which was the most since 2019. And a lot of your core is coming back. Most of your core key players from that group are coming back. Did you feel like the momentum translated into the off season for you guys?
I do think so. I think we talked right away when the girls got back about we loved last season and had so much fun competing, and we did experience some success, but we're still hungry and we're not satisfied. So I think that was huge as far as the mindset going into the spring. But yeah, I think, when I was fortunate to get this job last November, I knew we were talented. I knew we had big cultural changes to make. And I was just so fortunate that our group just took hold and jumped in like full force into everything we wanted to change. So it's been awesome.
And 3 of your key players, Kasha Partika, Riley Scholes, and Sierra Grizzle, are going to Europe this summer in July to play on a travel team. Are you excited not only they get to experience that, but that'll probably, you know, enhance their off season?
Yeah, Riley and Sierra going over there is going to be awesome. They're getting to play, and I think that was a great experience for Kasha last year. It's just a cool way to build relationships with our opponents too, and I think they get to see the people behind what we see across the net from us normally. But it's a great experience and a taste of what maybe like a pro career could look like after collegiate volleyball, some of those things. So it's a great way to touch a ball at a high level during a time where normally you just don't get to. And an awesome benefit. We're the only conference in the country that puts together an all-star team that goes over there, and they won it last year, so hoping they can bring it back again this year.
Who are some of the team leaders right now? Obviously, you know, there's a list of players that are talented that have experience, but who are you kind of leaning on? You know, obviously, Corin Carruth was in the program for a long time. She was obviously a leader. Who's kind of, you know, taking charge of that right now?
Yeah. Quickly on Corin, just we just had our 2023 season banquet, and one of the things we started is a tradition where the team votes on who represents our team values the best over the course of the season. And Corin won that award. We called it the Ride for the Brand Award. And no doubt that she was a huge leader for us and a huge loss in the locker room for us as well. I think when I look towards the future and who's kind of took the reins of that this spring so far, it's definitely Kasia Partika, just an experienced leader. She's doing it on the floor. She's doing it off the court. She's a fierce competitor. What I love about that is, like, I think we talk about leadership and you think you have this cookie cutter example of what that looks like. And Kasia is so different than Corin. And I think that's even hard for her at times to wrap her head around how she's going to fill that role. And it's like, no, you're going to do this your way. That's been really cool to navigate with her.
Of course, you know, Sarah Holcomb, Zoe Smith, a lot of good players back. One player I think Cowgirls fans are going to, I mean, the hardcores already know, but that maybe the casual is going to fall in love with is Evelyn Udezaway. Of course, her dad, Ugo, was a great basketball player here at Wyoming. Does she have breakout star potential this year after getting so many reps last year?
Yeah, I think it worked out really well for Evelyn even last fall, getting to play in the NIVC and getting that experience under her belt going into this spring and then next fall. She's such a great athlete. She's such a sweet kid. She's such a hard worker. And then what's so cool for Evelyn is, like, her entire mom side of the family is in Laramie. And we have about 30 of Evelyn's family at every single spring match. It doesn't matter. They're there. They've got coordinated cheers. Sometimes they even have coordinated outfits. It's just so cool that she gets to share this experience with her family and her loved ones. And she definitely has some breakout potential there.
I think she had a career high in kills against Montana State in that home match in the NIVC. I mean, obviously the atmosphere that night was electric, but it usually is. And I think even your spring matches had pretty good crowds. How much did that help you just, you know, with the atmosphere and the home court advantage that first year to get, I think, 11 home wins?
Yeah, it's huge for us. I know that everyone in our conference's least favorite place to play is the Uniwayo, and we couldn't love that more. I think the environment speaks for itself. And then I think our team quadrupled our community service from the year prior over the last year. And I don't think our crowd attendance, and we set our season average attendance record in the fall of 2023. So I do think that's correlated. I think our team feels very, very connected to our community right now and vice versa. And we want to continue that path. I think it's huge. I agree with you. I thought both of our home spring matches were the best crowds I've ever seen for spring matches here since I've been here. And it's just such a cool environment to be a part of.
Obviously, it's a tough ticket because it's a smaller venue and they're right on top of it, the action. But when you look at the growth of the sport and you see, like, Nebraska selling out their football stadium for a match, you want to get it to that level where maybe you have a special match at the AA and, like, you know, the people that can't get into the regular matches experience it that way?
Yes, totally. I think being smart about when that happens is key for us. And last year we played San Diego State in the AA during homecoming weekend. We had an alumni event that weekend. I think there's times like that, maybe a football crossover or something like that, where it makes sense for us. But it's such a, like, a it's a win-win, but it's just a hard decision because we love our environment in the Uniwayo, and giving that up is a hard decision to make.
Obviously, Corin was a Kelly Walsh player, in-state recruit. And that tradition continues, you know, with Abby Milby, also from Kelly Walsh, and then Maddie Stuckey, a legacy player from Laramie. How important is it, like, football to have, you know, some of the local flavor when there are Division I prospects in Wyoming like that?
Yeah, we feel really fortunate. It feels like a really special time in Wyoming volleyball right now in the state. There's a couple players on our roster currently and then coming up through the ranks that we're really excited about. And yeah, I think it almost speaks to the same thing as Evelyn, just how cool for them to get to share this with their families. And I think it's just this place is awesome regardless of who you are or where you come from, but being from Wyoming and putting on the Wyoming jersey is really, really special.
And in terms of your staff, you know, Becky Baker was promoted associate head coach. That could come in handy this fall. And then Justin Duick is your new assistant. You have a really good staff. Can you kind of talk about how that helps you as you transition into this new role as head coach?
Yeah, I feel super fortunate to be surrounded by people that I can lean on heavily. I think that started even last year with Josh on our staff and having a former SEC head coach that I could go to, and he mentored me in so many ways that first year. And now Becky, I think we've built a working relationship over time. You know, we are both assistants together here. She's an alum of this program. She bleeds brown and gold. Her fingerprints are all over our success. She's a huge part of our program and has great relationships with our kids and, has really grown on the recruiting side of things. So that's been awesome. And then Justin, is originally from Fresno, but is coming from Stony Brook, and the head coach there actually was the recruiting coordinator here under Chad Callahan, my predecessor. So he actually has some Wyoming ties, even though he's never been here before. And it's been so interesting as we get to know each other better, how some things have stayed the same, because our ties and our tree is kind of connected, which is cool.
You guys played CU in the spring, which is, you know, not a full on serious match. It's more of a developmental match, but I think you guys play them again in Boulder for real this fall. Obviously you had the big win at Texas Tech last year. Now CU's in the Big 12. Just talk about a little bit about the non-conference schedule. And I imagine you beefed it up a little bit. It's not going to be an automatic 11-0 again, because you have a good team coming back, so you want to challenge them.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. Going into last year, I felt like we didn't know much about our team, and wanting to really build confidence going into the conference play. And this year, there's a balance there. Like, we still want to feel really confident going into conference play, but I do think we need to challenge ourselves and be really prepared for those tougher matches across the board. So, yeah, we will go to Boulder. Excited about that challenge. And it was cool for our team to have experience in that arena going into next fall, and playing them, playing CSU, but in that venue will be good for us to have that experience under our belt when we're there in September.
And when is the home tournament to get you guys started?
Yeah, it's our last non-conference weekend. I believe that's the third weekend in September. I don't remember the dates right off the top of my head, but we're going to play over 3 days there, and Utah will be coming to that, as well as Albany and Coppin State. So we're excited about that tournament as well.
And of course, you know, that might be BYU football weekend. Well, who knows? We'll see. But one thing about volleyball that's interesting to me is you guys start in mid-August, and then obviously you're training well before that. So your summer is very short. What do you want to kind of get accomplished before the lights come on?
Yeah, actually, volleyball is an interesting one with us, and women's soccer don't have access to our kids over the summer. They'll come back around July 1st to work out with our strength coach and take a summer class, but we're not allowed to train with our team over the summertime. So they're on their own from here until that August 7th is when we report. Which is a long time. we have such a good group. We know they're going to put the work in. We'll get to work on August 7th. We're really excited about adding our four freshmen to our roster and being a complete unit as we roll into the conference and non-conference slate there.
How do you feel like the Mountain West is going to shape up this year? Obviously, there's been so many changes. Utah, who's coming here, is now in the Big 12 also. Mountain West is the same. You know, you guys perform so well at home, and then, you know, the road, like Utah State won the conference. You lost to them by in five sets. A lot of matches like that. How do you see, who are the favorites in your mind? And do you feel like you guys will be in the mix with the crew you have coming back?
Yeah, it's so competitive, and that's what we love about our league. We definitely need to perform better on the road and get the result we want a couple more times to be in that mix. We're going to prepare to be there. It's going to be interesting with coaching changes and then also some of the top teams graduating a lot, who finds themselves in that mix, I think it's going to look a lot different than it has the last couple of years, because we've had some teams at the top who've had very consistent rosters and now they're reloading. And to have to do that and still compete at the highest level of our conference is tough. So we're excited about returning some players and just having some experience and staying hungry.
Kaylee, thanks so much for joining the pod. It's going to be here before we know it. So everyone get ready for volleyball in August. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast at Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your pods, or go to the Pokes Insider page. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, Ryan.